This is it. We've got an Amex Platinum Pro on our hands, ladies and gentlemen. We haven't seen anyone relax like this before in the Centurion Lounge. Is he connecting to complimentary Wi-Fi? Oh, my. Look at that. He is. And you will not believe where he's going next. The Amex dedicated card member entrance for the win. Unbelievable.
When you get travel perks with Amex Platinum, you're part of the action. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
I want to tell you a story. It's a story about a scandal, broken relationships, gossip, rumors, money, corporate rivalry, and a broom. A performance-enhancing broom. My name is John Cullen. I'm a comedian, podcaster, and for 20 years, I was a semi-professional curler. And I want to tell you the story about how a single broom almost imploded the 500-year-old sport of curling.
We felt like we were bringing a knife to a gunfight.
It's the story of a superstar and his fall from grace.
Well, I was being dragged through the mud.
It's the story of two brother entrepreneurs with a dream.
Yeah, I said, that's great news.
It's a story of intrigue.
I still don't understand why we want to keep his name secret.
The full story has never been told, so I'm going to tell it. Broomgate, how a broom almost killed curling.
It was a year I'd like to forget.
To listen to Broomgate, search for Broomgate in your favorite podcast app. That's all one word, Broomgate.
The following is a presentation of the Eastern Michigan Sports Network.
Spins by the feet, he's to the 10, the 5, touchdown! What a tackle!
Evans up the middle to the 5, into the end zone, touchdown, Eastern Michigan!
Straight from the 734, it's the Blue Cross Blue Shield Eastern Insider Podcast, presented by The Foaling Warehouse, your weekly chance to get in on the action. Now, let's send it to the guys on the inside of it all, Greg Steiner and Tom Helmer.
A big week in store for Eastern Michigan, but Tom, I've got a question for you.
Lay it on me.
When do things become retro?
Ooh, that's a good question.
Because it's retro arcade game day coming up on Saturday as Eastern Michigan, the doubleheader, they're hosting a retro arcade day. But the problem is, these are all games that I grew up with. That's not retro.
You're retro.
No.
Come on. You don't think that era of like the 90s is retro? It's got to be.
I guess it does, but does it also then retro mean old? Because that makes me feel really old.
Yeah. Wait till you listen to classic rock on the radio. You're going to feel real old.
Oh.
Greg, we're not young.
No, that's the hard part. Like, they're talking about bringing Tetris and Ms. Pac-Man and all these other games. And like, that's just what I used to play.
Realistically, you can only have retro arcade game day because everybody just plays at home now. There aren't new cutting-edge video games at arcades out there, I don't think. It's still like Pac-Man and Q-Bert.
Were you a video game guy growing
Loved it.
Up?
Yes. Yes, especially the World of Wheels roller rink. In Ann Arbor, we would have school roller skating parties, all that type of stuff. Here's the problem. First of all, roller skating. I always wanted to wear like my newest pair of jeans.
Of course.
I would inevitably fall and get the shiner on the knee. Remember, did you ever roller skate?
Not well.
Well, did anybody skate well? But
well, there was always that one kid that was always showing up because they could skate backwards, everything else. I was the guy just like holding onto the wall to make sure I didn't fall over.
Well, I really honed in on being fake cool because I got the rental skates. Usually the heel was worn out on the inside a little bit, so it was going to give you a blister. But I bought the skate socks that go over the skate. You ever see it would cover the laces and everything. So they were black. So if you slid them over, they look like I had my own custom skates with orange wheels. They were just the rental skates. But when you put the little nylon sock over it, now look at you like that, right? So then I got my jeans, I got my hoodie, I got my comb sticking out of my back pocket because the hair is feathered and making laps around the rink. And then sometimes there'd be a couple skate. Well, not everybody always wanted to skate with T-Nizzle. So I would go over and play Asteroids and all those games. And sometimes my mom would take me when I was young because she went for exercise. So she would go to a midweek matinee skate. And then I knew the couple skate was coming and my mom would want to skate with me because I'm her little boy. So I would either hide in the bathroom or play a video game.
Well, she can play video games too. My mom used to like to play some Mario with me. No, why not?
But yeah, we're retro.
We're retro. I guess it's...
At what point is something an antique? 75 years?
Isn't 50 like an antique now?
Then I'm an antique.
Yeah, technically.
Yeah, so it would make sense the stuff I did was retro.
But to me, you're golden, not antique.
I'll take it.
But yes, you can come out. They have Ms. Pac-Man, Street Fighter, Donkey Kong, Tetris, Centipede. Puzzle Bobble's not one I know.
I don't know that
game. But that one's coming.
Puzzle Bobble.
They were supposed to have NBA Jam, but it's in the shop.
Oh. That's the one, too, where the ball would heat up and get, like, fiery when you hit a couple shots in a row.
Oh, yeah. But since we don't have that one, I do have the animation on the board for Saturday for when Tyson Acuff decides to go off for he's heating up.
Nice.
So that'll be a great thing on Saturday that you can get off with, because there are no games this week until Saturday following the Max Sunbelt Challenge. Ah, that's a deep sigh of relief for everybody to get their legs back under them after a
everybody
big, long
it.
Stretch.
Yeah, and it's nice for the women's team. They got a win against South Alabama, and now they get a week off, and then you get into the stuff with Northern Illinois coming in, who you've already beaten.
Yep.
So, obviously, both the men and women need some sort of crazy run here, or there's no trip to Cleveland. So it's nice for both teams to kind of get their legs underneath them. The men losing their Sun Belt Challenge against Louisiana Monroe. Louisiana Monroe actually had a good team. They got some, gosh, there was one guy, his last name had like 47 consonants and two vowels.
Yeah, I could say he needed to buy a vowel on Wheel of Fortune.
But a strong player. I was like, please don't let him play. Please don't let him. Like, he plays 30 minutes a game.
Yeah.
So the men losing that one, and of course, it was Monroe's a tough city to get to, tough city to get out of. They had some plane troubles. They didn't get back till Sunday night.
Another strong game from Acuff as well as Osonic, but you still got to get well-rounded effort out of everybody.
Yeah, you need, like, Osonic's got to hit. When Acuff's hitting, you still need double digits out of Lovejoy. You need help in the paint. Like, Billingsley, like, 11 points has to be his minimum. You need better defensive play out of Martinoff. You need this whole thing to come together. It'll be interesting to see Saturday because you play Bowling Green. That was, you and I called that MAC opener at Bowling Green on January 2nd, and they lost in overtime 92-90. Actually, it was the first game, because they beat Kent State the second game of MAC play.
But it was similar to the NIU game that we called the other day, too, that free throws were the difference. I mean, when Eastern shoots in the single digits.
Eastern Michigan shot 9, and they shot 29.
Can't do that.
It can't be all play. It's got to be some.
There's some extenuating circumstances.
Yes. So that just seems almost unfair. But yeah, that made a difference in that game. But it'll be interesting. Like, all right, where are we right now? Where is Bowling Green right now? Because these two have played head to head. It went right down to the wire. EMU lost by 2. Are we going to see similar fashion? Is EMU going to get beat by 10? Is EMU going to come off this week of rest and come out and get the win they should have got January 2nd and finally get rolling? It's going to be tough to say.
So we touched on the men's side, but on the women's side, again, the effort, the intensity, what Keisha Blanton is doing, if you changed your defense, you've done all these things, and now you're getting a player unselfishly say, 7 games left, I would just want to help my team. And Isla Boston is now all of a sudden playing. She started the other day after expecting to be, this is not going to be a season I'm ever going to play in.
She came into the game previous to South Alabama, and all of a sudden I was like, I didn't have her on my chart.
I didn't have her on my chart.
So it's like, I knew she was on the team, but it's like, at a certain point, as seasons go on, I eliminate players that are redshirting or not going to play this season. All of a sudden, I'm just like, hold on, everybody. Here's a player we haven't seen all season. Now she's averaging 10 minutes a game.
Right?
She got the start. It's like the women are also doing this thing with the turkey now.
Oh, the turkey's a big thing. And they were out. They bought the turkeys. They were placing them on the front. You get a turkey if you get 3 defensive stops in a row.
Yes.
And they figured out that if you have 7 over the course of a game, 7 turkeys, you're bound to win.
Yes.
So they bought 7 turkeys. Well, the hard part was they played such good defense the other day. Midway through the third quarter, they ran out of turkeys.
Well, they had 6 turkeys in the first half.
Right. Needs to go out and buy some more.
There's 10 on the desk.
Oh,
now.
Even better.
So the new goal is 10 turkeys, and if they hit that number, they're going to go for 12. Turkey's a thing now. They got the band to gobble.
You got Ryan Woolley talking about wanting stuffing and gravy during the broadcast.
Well, I always want stuffing and gravy. So
do I. I love
he's hitting a sweet spot there. Yeah. So I think it's a very cool thing the women's team is doing, and it gives them a focus. Like, they want to see those turkeys pop up on the scorer's table or wherever, or someone holding up a turkey. So now it's a thing.
So I like it. Anything you can do, because they are playing with some effort and intensity, and it's a really good thing. This week, we roll some new sports into the equation as women's golf gets their season going. It's actually underway right now. They're down in none other than South Florida at the Atlantic Invitational at the Fountains Country Club. They're playing.
I picked the wrong sport in college.
Yeah, I guess.
Should have grabbed a club young, played golf. What a great sport.
What a great sport. And Stephanie Jennings, we'll hear from her. Her team struggled in the first round, but her ace, Anna Watson, had a really strong performance out of the gates, a 74. She's tied for ninth as we speak after one round of play. So you're going to get to hear all about women's golf and their plan for the year and really how they hope to overthrow Kent State for the first time. You've had 23 women's golf MAC championships ever crowned. Kent State owns every single one of them. So sooner or later, somebody's going to knock them off, right?
Yes, they're the Crimson Tide of golf.
I think they're well past the Crimson Tide of golf. They're the Lakers, Celtics, the
Wooden,
and Crimson
they're everything.
Tide.
They're every great team in one. Yeah.
So a great story with her, and then she'll also talk a little bit about the new Game Above Golf Performance Center. And then this weekend, it's EMU baseball hitting the diamond for the first time. I am ready for baseball because it means winter's done, the worst is behind us. I love baseball, and it means we're finally there.
It means you'll be in your little tiki hut soon.
Yeah, I'll be in baseball games.
It is nice because, you know, pitchers and catchers in the majors are reporting here in a few days. Baseball is right around the corner. But we're going to talk to Logan Hugo, who is ready to rock this season. I mean, he's put on some muscle. He's put on some size. He feels good about the team. They like their new coach. Like, it's everything feels like it's hitting on all cylinders for the Block E this year.
And he's a creature of habit, which you talked to him about in this episode. He really likes to focus on, if he doesn't have the right amount of eggs, it could be a bad day.
Same meal every day he plays, right down, I mean, to the number of eggs. Everything has to be cooked the right way. There's no variation. He's got some stuff he does at the ballpark, likes to slam a medicine ball, which you've worried about it. Ricocheting.
Yeah,
up
the last thing I need is him knocking
face.
Himself out before a game. Oh, sorry, we don't have your outfielder today because he's unconscious.
But they play Belmont, and he talked about too, like, one of the things they've done is if the thermometer has read 35 or warmer, they're outside. And he said that makes such a big difference, especially as an outfielder, because last year they went down to Alabama.
Yeah, we played in Hoover, Alabama.
But he goes, that was the first time we were really seeing the ball in the sky, which you got, I mean, after you've been indoors all winter, seeing the ball come off the bat outside and in the sky and getting everything dialed back in is a big deal. So he's like, they had extra snow shovels. If they had to shovel anything, I think the weather's been phenomenal.
Yeah, Robbie Britt said they've only been inside one day since this all started. So they've had a great weather to get
ready.
It was
60 on Saturday.
Right.
It was beautiful.
So they will get this weekend going, Friday, a doubleheader Saturday, and then a full game on Sunday as well. EMU Eagles, your home base for that. We won't have coverage, and right now I've not seen any links for live radio or television, so unless maybe we can convince the powers to be, let us go there instead.
Yeah, I'm available. So.
Yeah, I'm gonna say, I think we could make that happen.
Yeah, we can. I'm always happy to go anywhere warmer and do some broadcasts.
So yeah, plenty of good things. I know our time's winding short, but got to get your thoughts on last night's Super Bowl.
The team I thought was going to win won. It was a very ho-hum game for a big chunk of it.
Right. I thought the 49ers screwed up, though, at the end.
Yeah, I did too.
Play defense first. Don't take the football. It's not regular overtime rules. You want to know what the opposition does.
I always feel like the more information you have, the better decisions you can make. And what's better than knowing if you need a field goal, a touchdown, whatever. So you had the ball first, you kick a field goal. Now Kansas City has the advantage because you're going to go for it on fourth down, which they did. You're going to know that, like, all right, worst case scenario, you kick a field goal, but if we get a touchdown here, we win it, which they did. The thing that was unclear to me to the end, they said, they talked about starting a new game. As the clock was ticking down to zero, then it was Tony Romo, who was like, you know, this will just go into the second. I'm like, okay, this is like the start of a new game. That they never clarified in the playoff rule. So I'm like, they're running out of time, and they still wanted it in that first quarter of overtime.
Yeah, but I was all confused in Tony Romo's verbal diarrhea that he was spewing, because he just says anything that comes to his mind.
I wasn't getting much information from him last night, and he felt like he was struggling a little bit there on the call.
But the thing I heard today was that the Chiefs had talked about their plans if they got into overtime for like a year. They said, if we ever get into this postseason overtime situation, we're giving the other team the ball first. We're playing defense. And then they had already decided that they were going for two no matter what if they were down a touchdown. But meanwhile, I heard from the 49ers, they're like, what do you mean they're different rules? They didn't know that this wasn't anything other than just what they play in the regular season.
See,
that's coaching.
That's on Shanahan. Yeah, because they were excited to win the toss. They got the ball. They kicked the field goal.
It's like Matt Hasselbeck years ago when he won the coin toss. We want the ball and we're going to win it.
Yeah, and then he threw a pick six.
Yeah, don't do that. That's a bad way to go.
But it's just we saw bad coaching to the Lions coach themselves out of the NFC Championship.
Lions would have much had a field day yesterday. They would have won.
I'd like to think so. It would have been fun to watch, that's for sure.
Oh, if ifs and buts were candy and nuts. All right, we've gone too long. You can join Tom and I this weekend. We'll have full coverage on EMU basketball on both the radio and TV side. We're back next week. As always, you can listen here or anyway. You get your podcast on now, the Varsity Network. It's the Eastern Insider Podcast presented by the Foley Warehouse and Blue Cross Blue Shield.
Are you ready? Ready to find the right care that works for you? Care that connects you to what you need anytime, anywhere, and fits best with your lifestyle? Whether it's in person or in your pajamas, online or over the phone, Blue Cross Blue Shield of Michigan connects you to the care you need when you need it most. With the largest network of doctors and hospitals, an easy-to-use mobile app, and a 24-hour nurse line. Because we're always ready to help. Learn more about Blue Cross Blue Shield of Michigan at bcbsm.com.
It's here. Bowling Warehouse. And sports will never be the same. Bowling combines the best of bowling and football. But you don't have to be good at either to have a great time at the Bowling Warehouse. Ipsy Ann Arbor's newest place to play is now open. 20 lanes, 2 bars, over 100 beers. The Foley Warehouse at the corner of Washtenaw and Golfside in Ypsilanti, where everyone comes to play.
There's only one place in the state of Michigan that takes you straight inside the locker room. And that's the Eastern Insider Podcast, your chance to get in on the action, bringing you more coverage than any other program in the Mitten.
Joining me now, Logan Hugo, outfielder, Eastern Michigan baseball, and he's already got the sick head of lettuce ready to go for the baseball season. You grew it out a little bit.
I did, yeah. Started to grow it out end of last year in the summer ball and letting it eat now. I don't know. Trying to get some curl on it. Looks good. I'm fitting the baseball hat.
Are you superstitious at all?
Not huge.
Some baseball players are very superstitious. Do you have a pregame routine you like to stick to?
Yeah, I am a big routine guy. Not super superstitious, but routine definitely. I think I like to eat the same thing, eat the same breakfast, and then I'll get to the field around the same time, depending on the game time.
Okay.
And then I'll have the same setup, like what I'm wearing, how I put it on, right sock, left sock, pants, stuff like that. So
you know, I'm going to break this down a little bit. What's the meal?
I always eat 6 eggs scrambled with 2 pieces of toast and 2 pieces of Jimmy Dean frozen sausage. Warm it up in the microwave. There it is.
So you can cook a little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah, scramble up the eggs.
Yeah.
If you go into a slump, does the breakfast change?
No.
Stays the same.
I try and the details of the routine need to be even better to be able to make sure I'm doing the right things. So it's not really changing it. It's making sure I'm doing the right thing.
How did you lock into that meal? Like, I need 6 eggs. I don't need 5. I don't need 7. I need the right amount of sausage. Yeah. You just did it one day and you're like, this is it.
This is it.
Then you, when you get to the ballpark, other than the way you get dressed, are there different things you do there to get ready for the game?
Yeah. Like I said, it is a good like routine that I've set out mentally.
I heard you slam a medicine ball pretty hard.
Yeah, I do. I do have some like warm-up routines, but I really think the biggest thing that I try and stay consistent is my mental performance and mental readiness, I would say. I would say the big thing with baseball, it's different because you switch from home and away on pregame routine and pregame like BP and stuff.
Right.
So you can't get locked into that routine. You can't get locked into like being a robot and like making sure you're warming up this way or that way, but you can stay consistent in the mental game. So I think that's the biggest thing for me.
Now, you're a routine guy, but the routine changes. You have a new head coach.
Yep.
Talk about him and the changes in the program since he stepped on campus.
Yeah. I mean, it's been incredible for me. Has really changed my baseball career. He came in and has taken me under and really has put me on the right direction. He is a big mental guy, mental performance guy. So, like, again, that has helped me propel to the next level. I think baseball's 90% mental, as they say, and like him coming in and being a big culture mental guy has changed me, but also this program has really taken everybody under the wing and say, listen, like, this is how we do things and you're going to prepare in this way, and has changed the trajectory of Eastern Michigan baseball.
Logan, I've always kind of equated baseball to golf a little bit. It's a lot of mentality. It's a lot of mechanics. It's a lot about forgetting what happened on the last swing of the last at bat. Do you golf at all?
I do a little bit. I'm not very good. I got some, like, a lot of our teammates are big into golf. So I'll go out with them just to mess around, but I'm not the greatest. So no, I don't play a ton.
You don't step up. You'd like to drive it though. Yeah. You like to step up there and like, let's see if we can get this thing to go 400.
Yep. That's fun. No, that's fun. But that's about all I can do is swinging off the deck, and it is going all over the place. But
with a name like Hugo, you got to hit dingers, I think. It feels like a mandatory name with that. When's the first time you hit a home run over a fence that you remember?
I was pretty young. I remember hitting a lot of home runs in high school, Little League. I probably hit my first home run when I was 10. And then we actually started collecting like baseballs that I was hitting home runs at. So that was like a cool memory to look back on. I actually found it in the closet last year. Some of my first like home run balls, and my mom wrote on them. So that was cool. That was a cool like memory that I got to look back on. But yeah, no, I not to brag, but yeah, I have been hitting home runs.
Well, it's not bragging if you can do it, right? That's part of your job, right? Yeah. You play in the outfield. You like playing in the outfield?
I love it.
Did you ever, was there a point in your career where you were playing in the infield or trying different positions? You're like, nah, I'm an outfield guy.
I was a catcher growing up till I was like 12. Switched to the outfield, playing with some other guys, and we had another catcher, went to the outfield, and I never went back. I probably 12, 13 years old, never went back to catching. Really liked the outfield, had the speed for it, so I stayed out there. And I think that's really when it changes. You get that 12, 13 level, and the outfield does come important. When you're in Little League, it's not as much. You come that age, outfield becomes important, and I wanted to take that over. So
I was looking at some of your stats before, too, and when you have a chance to make a put out from the outfield, you convert on a lot of those.
Yeah.
You take a lot of pride in that?
Yeah. Yeah. I'm a big, I really try and perfect my craft on that because as an outfielder, you don't get that many opportunities. So you better take advantage of those put out opportunities. And if you don't, it like is very evident in the game. But if you do make it, it is a game changer as well. So you gotta take pride in what you do. And I think that's a big part of my game as well.
Have you changed yourself physically going into the season? Are you a little more bulked up, a little bit different than you were a year ago?
Yeah, I came in this fall, played last year about 190. I'm pushing 215 now. Kim, our strength guy, has done an incredible job with us. I mean, I attribute a lot of my athletic ability to him. Has really changed, again, my career in a great way. So putting on muscle, we train a ton of speed, which has helped me with the weight function and continue to keep my speed up, has been really good. And like I said, I feel more confident and I feel physically better putting on the muscle that I have, which has been incredible. And like I said, the guys on the team too, like what Cam's been doing with them, like day in, day out, we have guys putting up PRs in the weight room, which is incredible to see. That atmosphere, if you ever get a chance to come over to the weight room, those guys get after it. It's a fun experience.
A lot of screaming, a lot of that kind of stuff, getting after it.
There's some meatheads in there. It's fun. It's really fun. Like, it's like we look forward to going to lift because there's some guys in there that can get after it. And we get after each other, too. So It's fine.
Because there was an era in baseball where that was not a thing.
No,
they really didn't want you lifting weights. And even when you were bulking up, did you worry, well, is this going to affect the way I swing? Is this the way I'm going to follow through? Were you conscious of that as you put on the additional weight and bulked up?
I mean, yeah, but you see it. I mean, you see it in the MLB. You got Aaron Judge at 265 pounds. Like, it plays. Like, it's not that big of a deal as long as you keep the mobility. And Cam's a great job of, we do mobility lifts. We do a bunch of stretching. We do some, hip shoulder separation work to continue to keep our body right as we continue to add weight in the mass of our body and the mass of the weight room. You're conscious of it, but at the end of the day, we have a program set in place that helps us continue to get better in mobility as well as add weight.
So. You mentioned Judge. Is he one of your favorite players?
I like Judge. I don't know. I wouldn't say he's one of my favorites. I'm not a huge
Yankee
fan. I'd say I'm a big fan. This is kind of out there. Evan Carter. He's a rookie on the Rangers. I really took interest in him before the postseason, and then they go on that postseason run. Incredible watching him play the game. He's a rookie, and really, if you watch his mentality stepping up to the plate, it's very relaxed. Like, whatever happens, happens. Like, let's go have fun. And he put up incredible numbers in the postseason, almost hit 400. And I was high on him, and I was telling, our coaches and stuff, I'm like, this kid's going to do something special. And then they go out and win the World Series. It was, I don't know, I felt really good about myself because I was talking about him. But he's a big guy that I've been following, his progression. He got drafted out of high school, but really was under the radar and then kind of blew up, which is awesome to see because trying to follow in steps like that. I like him. I also like Mike Trout, big fan. Just typical GOAT status there. So,
well, you mentioned Texas's run. How do you feel about this EMU team and what they're up against this season? What are your guys' goals? What do you guys think you can accomplish on the diamond?
Yeah, I think hearing what other people are saying, we got a change coming in. It's hard to change. It's hard for change. Listen, I think there's a big expectation on this group. I think we have a really good core of guys that have been here. And then this new group coming in is just eager to learn and win. And I think I've been telling our guys this in the weight room. I also told some recruits this, either you're going to win with us or you're going to watch us win. So one or the other, you're going to watch us win or you're going to come join us and give everything you got. Cause I think it's only a matter of time before you're going to see us on top. So you can either watch us do it or come join us.
I love the attitude. Logan Hugo, final question. You're from Essexville, Michigan. I heard if I get in tight with your parents, I might get some pretzels that are dipped in butter.
Yeah, they're butter flavored pretzels from Essexville. They're incredible. My parents, yeah.
Is that why you bulked up?
I wish I could say that, but yeah.
How many of those pretzels have you had?
Enough.
They sound fantastic.
They're great. You have to try them. My parents will get you some.
All right, hook me up. I appreciate that. Logan Hugo, thank you very much. Good luck this season.
Appreciate it. Thank you.
This episode of the Eastern Insider Podcast is brought to you by National Trails Bus. Safety, comfort, reliability. Come ride with us. As well as Trinity Health. Trinity Health is the preferred healthcare provider of EMU athletics. Get top-tiered orthopedic and spine care to get you back in the game. As well as Standard Printing and Design, the standard of excellence in design and print for small business.
You're listening to the Blue Cross Blue Shield Eastern Insider Podcast, presented by the Folding Warehouse, the only show that brings you all things Eastern all the time. Now let's get back to the action with Greg Steiner and Tom Helmer.
She opened a brand new facility, and now you can't wipe the smile off her face. Head coach Stephanie Jennings joins us. It's been a great off-season for EMU women's golf and men's golf. You get a brand new practice facility. We talked to you at the opening. I mean, everybody just continues to beam about that facility.
It's tremendous. I think it was 2 days after the grand opening, Ella from our team was walking in for practice in the morning, and I'm there and I looked at her. I'm like, I still just cannot believe, this is where we come for our practice now. This is it, and it's just so.
How many calls or texts did you get from coaches saying, well, you just made it really harder on us now?
They were already saying that when it was being constructed. So when the coaches came for the Shirley Spork, they're like, man, we're not even going to be able to compete.
Right.
Now. And I was like, hey, you know, everybody's going to move. I feel a lot of the you know, larger universities and teams that are really dedicated to their golf programs, they're going to move into something like this eventually.
Yeah, you have to at this point.
You have to.
I mean, just to be able to have the ability to hit and putt in all climate conditions, it's a game changer.
That's where the short game, the putting green, the chipping, that I feel is going to make a world of difference for us. I mean, we've been able to stay fairly competitive without that, with just a plain, you know, flat putting green. But now having the opportunity to work on up and downs, to work on, you know, putting stroke, to work on breaking putts, it really is going to help us prepare even better.
When you look at TrackMan, and I know I talked to Coach Cunningham about it, he says it's the truest way to get how you could sense a ball fly. You could hit in the dome, and you're flying it out against a white background. You can't visualize that stuff. Mm-hmm. I know you've had the TrackMan, but it wasn't the place. You're always moving around. How is that going to help things, too?
Yeah, the nice thing about the TrackMan software, it's evolved to where you not only have like just shot analysis modules, but you have target practice modules, you have, you know, game simulation modules. So we can really set up multiple things. You know, there's a test center where you can set up certain, you know, if there's certain yardages you want to work on, right, you test those yardages. So it just, it has so many options. And yes, you know, the ball flight, your path, your face, your spin rate, I mean, all the data points. And then the other thing that we're taking advantage of, too, now that we're going to go play in Florida, we're at a different, you know, elevation level, right? Michigan's very different elevation level than Florida. So we're able to set on the TrackMan what that elevation level is for Florida and practice that. And our yardage is different at, you know, sea level than they are here in Michigan, which sometimes they are.
Having an upperclassman heavy team in a lot of ways, they've been around a few years. Does it also, when they walk in there, maybe give them a little different sense of where this program's come versus if they were just a heavy freshman team, which you had a few years ago?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they've seen it all evolved, right? They've been through it, and you know, from the time we started talking about the facility to now, and the fact that they're still here to see it happen, see it come to fruition, and you know. I've had one-on-one meetings with the players those last couple of days. And the one thing, I never really worried about them practicing. You know, we had our scheduled practice and then they would practice on their own sometimes. But even more now, it's like they just want to come and they want to be there. And they want to, whether it's, you know, a couple of the girls were studying together last night there and, you know, just go and putt for a little bit or whatever. They just have that motivation to be there.
When you have leaders at the top of this program that you can rely on, does it take a little pressure off you because it says, okay, they've learned the system and now I don't have to be the one always teaching?
Yeah, when you finally have players who believe in what you want to accomplish with this team and you know, quote unquote, buy into the culture, right? We're always, all of us coaches are always working on the culture of our team. And you know, we are a championship team. We are going to be a championship team. And the more our players can breathe that, you know, be examples of that and pass it on down to the next generations coming in and the next, you know, players coming in. Yeah, it does take a little bit off of me. I mean, I still got to keep us moving in the right direction. Because the other thing is, like, obviously I have my goals for the team as a whole. And they have their individual goals. So what I, you know, make sure is they're staying focused on their individual goals, because if they're achieving that, then that's going to contribute to our team goal. So.
Not that you ever want to draw attention to it, but when you walk in the doors right away, there's the trophy case off to the left side. Mm-hmm. The men have their three MAC championship trophies. And not that Eastern hasn't been close. There's seven runner-up trophies in there. But there's not the big one. How does that now, from a visualization point of view, help them realize that this could become reality too?
Yeah, just to know what it's going to take for us to get there. You know, shooting even par, under par. We know what Kent does. You know, we know what they're capable of. We know the big tournaments they're playing in. And, you know, they they've always had a target on their back, right? And so it's just trying to, you know, be patient and just keep folks on every shot at a time to, you know, achieve that ultimate goal of winning a MAC championship. I mean, the world's going to blow up when a team right. other than Kent and, yeah. and it can be Eastern Michigan
been close.
University. Right, right. And we've had individual champion yep. in Sarah Johnson. So proud of that. And, you know, we can only just keep building on those moments and on those memories and just keep pushing forward. I mean, we have so many resources available to us. You know, we had good resources available before, but this is just even more.
Here with Stephanie Jennings on the Eastern Insider. You look at where you've come and where you are now. If you could go back and kind of tell yourself when you were a first-year coach that first season, what would you maybe tell yourself that you'd do differently now that you didn't at the time?
More one-on-one meetings with my players. Yeah, yeah. I kind of came into it just looking at it from, you know, focused on practice, focused on playing, not building those relationships as well as I should have. And I have great relationships with all those players, but I think I could have had even better relationships and better understanding of just how they process things and how they go about their, you know, games. And that's what I've tried to incorporate more now, is having one-on-one meetings with the players.
You look at your players at the top, senior Anna Watson right there, and then you've got two seniors that are back after they registered a year ago, and Paige and Sophia. What do those three really need to do in this upcoming spring season?
Really got to, you know, find more consistency. You know, we experienced in the fall some, you know, high scores, low scores, high score, you know, so there wasn't as much consistency as I like to see. And so, you know, our goal as a team, you know, 300 or better is usually where we're yep. trying to achieve. Better is, you know, lower than 300 is where we really need to be. And I think everybody has it in them. They've seen what they can shoot. They've seen what they're capable of. So just to have them believe in their games and trust in their games. You know, I had a great conversation with Natai Green.
Yep.
We call her Greenie. Great conversation with her today, and being, you know, this is final semester, right? Final season. And just trusting in what she's built over these last, you know, 5 or 6 years being here on our team and believing that she can be one of the right. top players in the MAC.
Yeah, she has the ability to. Do you also draw comparisons to her and what maybe Priyal's done? Because she, of course, didn't get that luxury of her senior campaign, and then because of COVID, and then goes off and is doing great things back over in Thailand.
Right, yeah. I mean, Green is a very different player from Priyal. And I think, you know, I've kind of looked at Green as, you know, she can definitely drive and be that kind of driving force with her game. But the little difference is, you know, just having that trust where Priyal had a lot of trust in her game. And Greenie's building that trust. And I think now she has the ability to really pull through. And
we've seen Alyssa really be able to post some low numbers, but I know the biggest thing is consistency with her. How do you try to go about getting her game more from one? Because you'll see a 69 one and a 78 the next.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, she's got all the skills that it takes to shoot those low scores, as we've seen. And she's got the mentality. We talk about, like, her match play mentality. Like, she can destroy people in match play. And so it's, like, taking that mentality of, and that focus that she has when she's playing kind of a match play environment and moving it into stroke play. And how if we have a bad shot, we just got to kind of, okay, accept it, yep. right? We can't change it. Let's just accept it and believe in our skill and our ability to recover from that bad shot.
And then two really talented freshmen that you have in Riley and Gabriella. We didn't get to see Gabriella as much in the spring as we did Riley, but mm-hmm. I know you think the sky's the limits for them.
I really feel strong that they're going to contribute more in the spring. I know Riley's already contributed, but I foresee Ella you know, putting some numbers in there this spring too, to be a part of the lineup, hopefully, and get in there. I really saw some great qualities in her last round at the Birmingham tournament, the Central Michigan tournament. And, you know, we've talked through some things over the winter here of just how we think on the golf course. And, you know, there's times where she'll let things spiral her game, and we're trying to, you know, change that mentality.
And then the one thing you've not had in your career is kind of a transfer addition at this mid-year break. You insert Grace into your EMU family, and she's had the ability at her previous two stops to play well, and but it's always that transition to the D1 level that could be unique too.
Right. She's quite the golfer. I mean, and person, like the personality that she has, she's blended very well with the team. You know, I can't say enough to the current team members of welcoming her like they have. And, you know, she works with a top level instructor out of Canada, the same instructor that worked with Nick Taylor, who won the RBC Canadian Open. And so she's had some good skill development through the years, and she's, you know, we're all traveling to Florida. Everybody's going to play. So it'll be interesting to see how she, you know, puts it on the table there, and just watching her in the simulator, you know, she's had some really good practice and good shots going on.
We're so used to you opening with the match play competition that Bowling Green's put on for seemingly ever, but a change this year. Okay. You get the different tournament, and you're going back to stroke play to start out the year.
Yeah, and last year she changed it to stroke play too when Bowling Green was still hosting it, and then they moved to Arizona, and like, okay, well, we still want to go to Florida.
Yeah. You can't go to Arizona twice. Right, you're already going back for the Rio Verde.
No. So, yeah, we're going to Lake Worth, Florida. New tournament, so we're kind of excited to see. It's a smaller field, but I know Illinois State's going to be there. So we'll have some decent competition and, you know, hopefully pretty good weather. And just, you know, seeing what, you know, this practice will pay off. And hopefully all good stuff.
What's your biggest message for the team this year? What have you really challenged them to do?
I want them to believe in themselves. That's the biggest thing. There's times where I remember making the comment of fear has no scholarship on this golf team, right? And there's times where fear creeps in, but believing in themselves, trusting in their games, trusting how much they've worked to get to where they are, and one shot at a time. That's the biggest thing, because it all will build up to more success for us.
I know you love branding. What's the hashtag? What's the theme? What's that we're really focusing on this year?
Be a champion.
Be a champion.
Yes. Yeah. With a biggie.
Biggie. All right, Steph, best of luck. We will catch up with you as the year progresses. We can't wait to host that trophy coming up in April.
It'd be awesome.
There she is, Stephanie Jennings, here on the Eastern Insider.
There's only one podcast in Washtenaw County that takes you inside the athletic department every single week. The Eastern Insider Podcast, your home for all things Eastern all the time. This has been another edition of the Blue Cross Blue Shield Eastern Insider Podcast, powered by Learfield. Tune in every Monday for new episodes all year long. And don't forget to visit emueagles.com/podcasts, SoundCloud, Apple Podcasts, or your home smart device for all of our episodes on demand.